Anta sannyasino malaham. Tasyai namostu kashtayai. Yatratma hari isharaha. Yadgatvana nivartante. Shanta sannyasino malaha. Tasyai namostu kasthayai. Yatratma hari ishvaraha. Yadgatvana nivartante. Yatratma ishvaraha. Yadvanante. Shanta sanyasino malaha. Namostu kashtaya. Yatratma ishvaraha. Yagatvana nivartante. Shanta sannyasino. Tasyai namostu kashtai. Yatma harir ishvaraha. Yagatvana nivartante. Shanta sannyasino. Sino mala tasyai namostu kashtayai yatratma harir ishvaraha yadgatvana nivartante go ahead. Sukashtayai Yatratma harir ishvaraha Yadgatvana nivartante Shanta sannyasino malaha. Big hand for a brave young bhaktin. Tasyai unto that, namaha, our respectful obeisances. Astu, let there be. Kashtayai, direction. Yatra, wherein. Atma, the supersoul. Harihi, the supreme personality of Godhead. Ishvaraha, the supreme controller. Yat, which. Gatva, approaching. Na, never. Nivartante, return. Shantaha, peaceful. Sannyasinaha, saintly persons in the renounced order of life. Amalaha, pure. So there's text 23 too, connected with this one. I'll just read the full translation. What we just chanted is what the demigods spoke to the personality of Godhead. Quote, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. unquote. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds and living only on their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Hrishikesha. With this meditation, purport by Srila Prabhupada, the two words, tasyai, kashtayai, are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart, and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his features as Brahman and Paramatma. Then, what is the purpose of saying tasyai kashtayai in that direction where Hari is situated? During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth, there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called Dhammas. In the Dhamma, there is no influence from Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a Dhamma, worship of the Lord becomes very easy and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan or similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. So what are we doing here? Practicing. Just like in those wonderful verses in Nectar of Instruction about the glories of Radha Kundan, Rupa Goswami says, and who would not reside there? And if we went to go reside there without qualification, we'd have a problem. So we go there for pilgrimage and place our heart there and leave our heart there while our bodies come back here and engage in Sankirtan on behalf of the Personality of Godhead, longing to go back and connect again. So, you're familiar with the situation. The title of the chapter is Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. So these current terrorists, they're small time. They're pretty active all over the planet. They want their influence to be felt. But Hiranyakashipu was a much bigger terrorist. He had terrorized the whole universe, including the controllers of the universe, the demigods. And they were so intimidated that, as the previous verse indicates, at last they surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Sometimes it takes adversity to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For persons more elevated, it doesn't. But for persons that are mixed, it helps. There's that nice verse, 1088.8 in the Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada described about, referred to it in his life, where it stated that adversity, or Prabhupada uses this word reversal, when those situations come, or some distress, or some calamity, or, you know, living in the material world, the duality feature looked pretty dark and ugly. In the life of a devotee, it's not, you know, the fruit of karma. In the life of a devotee, you know, that's a special position. A devotee is one who wants to please Krishna and is cultivating that spirit of wanting to please Krishna. That's bhakti. So one who is carrying bhakti, Krishna may create some misfortune, calamity, difficulty as an impetus to take further shelter of him. It's not, the verse says specifically, it's not the fruit of karma. So, just going way back, Jayan Vijay, this is Jai, gatekeeper of Vaikuntha, being this universal terrorist. You recall from the Madhurya Kandambani presentation, there was this question, you know, when one reaches the stage of shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is it possible for anarthas to exist even in that stage? And Vishwanath gives this example of Jayan Vijay. They're falling as if there was some anartha, which was the claim of Sanat, the four Kumaras. You don't belong here. You don't have even the proper understanding of what the transcendental realm is. You should descend to the earthly realm. So there was no fault. There was no anartha. But rather it was a prayer. Krishna's answering, or Narayana's answering their prayer. Our dear Lord, we know that you have chivalrous spirit, and in order to engage in that service for you, where you can have good combat with your devotee, then you kindly remove your bhakta vatsala feature for a moment, your kindness upon your devotee, and let us, if you so desire, take the position of being in opposition to you in your service. Please be kind and grant us this request. So their situation, Hiranyakashipu's situation, the Bhagavatam is very deep. We can't understand it properly just by something superficial. In any case, the demigods, they're mixed. They're devotees. They're very elevated devotees. Different than the residents of Vrindavan. When some demon comes, they take shelter of Krishna. Krishna kills the demon. Here, the impetus for taking full shelter was the terroristic activity of Hiranyakashipu. And so they, their shelter taking became energized and amplified. And they point to the Supreme Lord, that place where he resides is in all directions. Very interesting. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated. What's that direction? It's everywhere. Just like Prahlad said to Hiranyakashipu later in this canto, where is this Vishnu? He's everywhere. Prabhupada, just to go through it again, Prabhupada is commenting, since Paramatma, and he says his features as Brahman and Paramatma are situated in every direction, what direction is Paramatma not? There isn't. Paramatma is in every direction. And Brahman, what direction is Brahman? Every direction. So why are they referring to in that direction? And the answer is given, because Hiranyakashipu's influence was spread so widely. He was terrorizing people in every direction. There wasn't a place where his influence in this universe was not felt. He was big time, not small time, not medium time. He was big time. And so in every wherever Hiranyakashipu's influence is bringing fear into the lives of people, let us turn to you who are situated everywhere and please diminish the influence of this terroristic Hiranyakashipu. Then Prabhupada doesn't comment it on the purport, but very interesting. Think about it for a moment. If the Supreme Lord's residence is everywhere, and the specific mention in the second part of the verse, in the first part of the verse, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go. So what does this mean? Does this mean that we, those perfected sannyasis, meaning specifically those who have dedicated body, mind, and words fully unto the service of the Personality of Godhead, where do they go? Do they go within every atom? What does it mean? Because it's every direction. Let's read it again. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated. Tasyai kashtayai. In every direction, in every heart, and in every atom. What does this mean? What's the destination of Paramatma realized yogis and devotees? Well, two things. One is that same Paramatma that's within every atom has his own abode, in addition to within the heart of every living entity and within every atom of matter. He has his own abode. What's that? It's Svetadvipa, in this one spiritual planet within the whole of the universe. He has his abode. And that's the personality that the demigods go to pray to when they have a big problem. Svetadvipa. And there is Lord Vishnu, the same Lord Vishnu who's reclining in the milk ocean, the white island within the milk ocean, Shiradakshayi Vishnu, is situated in the heart of every living entity. Just like, to illustrate this, Bhagavatam is wonderful. So when Dhruva Maharaj was undergoing his severe practice of meditation and controlling the life air so that he was not breathing, just like these demigods, it says, they were living only on their breath, but Dhruva was holding his breath. Whatever it was, once a month he would breathe. So, because of that breath constraint, it was affecting the entire universe. Dhruva was also so powerful. So the demigods, they were suffocating. So they went to the same place, Svetadvip, and prayed to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry, it's just a little boy. He's doing some severe yoga practice. I'll take care of the problem." So Dhruva, who was seeing Paramatma within his heart, suddenly his trance of meditation broke, and then there was Lord Vishnu standing before him. No question. What happened to that personality of Godhead who was situated within his heart, who he was seeing, and then he suddenly disappeared? Is it different from or the same as the Lord Vishnu who was before him, who was in Svetadvip? And the answer is the same. So from where did he appear? Did he like leave his heart and appear before him, or did he descend from Svetadvip and appear before him and then disappeared from within his heart? Or what happened? And the answer is, he's all pervasive. So he can make himself appear in the heart, make himself disappear from the heart. He can make himself appear before Dhruva, or he can disappear before Dhruva. He can appear on Garuda, or he doesn't even need Garuda. Doesn't need anything. He's all pervasive. It's mind-boggling. What's a person who's all pervasive? Nobody that we know is all pervasive, but Vishnu is all pervasive. As many atoms as there are in the universe, there's that many manifestations of Lord Vishnu. And he's one entity, one supreme being. Another little Bhagavatam puzzle, at least for me, when I first read the first canto Bhagavatam, I was very puzzled about the pastime of Krishna appearing within the womb of Uttara before Maharaj Parikshit while he was still within the womb. So he did several things. He checked the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. He gave his darshan to Maharaj Parikshit. And then he suddenly disappeared. So the puzzle was, where did he come from and where did he go to? And the answer is, he's all pervasive. He doesn't need to come from any place or go to any place. No, did he come from the heart of Maharaj Parikshit and then he like manifested himself in front of his heart? Did he come from one of the atoms in front of Maharaj Parikshit? Or did Krishna transform him? Mental speculation. He's all pervasive. He doesn't need to come from anywhere or go anywhere. He can make himself manifest and make himself not manifest according to his inclination to do so. Everything follows his desire. Everything. Material and spiritual, everything follows his desire. And his desire especially goes to his devotee. And in this case, the devotee Maharaj Parikshit was in difficulty, so he gave his mercy. Specifically, so that Maharaj Parikshit throughout his whole life would always be searching for Krishna, for that darshan of Krishna once again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Leela, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, elaborately, so it's not elaborately discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after receiving initiation from Ishwara Puri, ecstatic love of God erupted immediately, and it increased and increased. So he began, in the middle of the night, started running for Vrindavan to find Krishna. Krishna's everywhere. You don't have to go to Vrindavan. Krishna's everywhere. But in Vrindavan, that's the original form of Krishna. It's in Vrindavan, of course. For one who is in pure devotion, yam shama sundaram achintya guna surupam. That form of Shyamasundara appears within the heart, because the form of that Krishna exhibits is according to the devotion of his devotee. Wherever that devotee is, their heart is in Vrindavan, and that's the form of Krishna that reciprocates with them. And so anyway, as he was running towards Vrindavan, literally running towards Vrindavan, a voice came from the sky, "Not yet. You came into this world to deliver conditioned souls through the chanting of the pure holy name, so go to Navadvip." So he went back to Gaya with his students. He then went to Kanai Natashala. It's a nice lila. And there in Kanai Natashala, he saw Krishna. Of course, he's Krishna. He saw Krishna. And he went running to Krishna, and Krishna disappeared. And he went mad in separation, like the mood of the gopis. Mad in separation. Talking and talking and talking in the mood of madness of separation. Weeping and crying and rolling on the ground and just mad in separation. So Krishna's in Kanai Natashala too. And Krishna's in Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a sand dune and saw Krishna on the bank of Govardhan Hill. Krishna's Shyamasundara is everywhere. Not just Paramatma is everywhere. But that's according to the devotion. Krishna shows that feature according to of him, according to the devotion. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to give us that quality of intimate love of the residents of Vrindavan. And what Krishna, what Lord Chaitanya wants, it happens. He's all powerful. We just have to say yes. We have to receive it in the manner he chooses to give it. So here, back to the demigods, they're saying, praying to the Supreme Lord, tasyai kashtayai, who is situated in that direction. Situated everywhere. And in that direction is where these sannyasis in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go. So they go to Svetadvip, because that within every atom and Svetadvip, they're actually non-different, which is really far out. Besides that one planet in this universe that's not destroyed when the universe is destroyed, there is the feature of Paramatma who expands from Shiradakshai Vishnu within every atom when the universe is destroyed. Those, you could say, they consolidate themselves back to Svetadvip or to Lord Vishnu, because it's one Lord Vishnu anyways. It's like the description when the Bhagavatam is so wonderful. Krishna in Dwarka, when he rises in the morning, there's 16,108 Krishnas, and he gets up and does his sadhana, meditating upon the absolute truth. It does a little differently than we do it. And then There's 16,108 Krishnas merged into one Krishna. They went into the assembly hall, sat by the side of Ugrasena, and then going back home, he expanded again into 16,108 Krishnas. He's quite flexible. And these details of how that is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in detail to Sanatana Goswami, different names of different types of expansions of Krishna. And even in Vrindavan, not just in Dwarka, Krishna expanded himself to dance with all the gopis. It's not multiple Krishnas, it's Krishna. Or each of the cowherd boys, when they were having their lunch, they were fascinated by the fact that Krishna is so attached to me. He's just looking at me. And each one of them was thinking the same thing. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his Sankirtan at Rath Yatra. And not everyone could understand that, but those that were blessed, Maharaj Prataparudra, could understand that. That, you know, that Krishna can reveal or Krishna can conceal. Everything happens by the will of the Supreme Lord. And that understanding precipitates or magnifies, intensifies bhakti. We wish to simply understand his will and connect with his will and please him. Usually we don't understand that. We're thinking very selfishly about me and mine. I and mine, aham mameti. Very covered with designations that are superimposed, and our true identity is suppressed or covered or just not annihilated, but not manifest. So the trouble is coming. The demigods are praying to the personality of Godhead, who they understand as the Lord of the universe. They are the universal administrators, and he's the Lord of the universe, and his influence is everywhere. His abode is everywhere. And they're appealing to him, who is the destination for those who let go of the attachments of this world and enter into the mood of exclusive shelter and devotion onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're appealing to him. And that the second part of the verse indicates they in doing this was a meditation or a prayer. Just pause on that a little bit. When the Navayogendras when the Prachetas were instructed by Lord Shiva to chant the stotra, the song of Lord Shiva that he sings or chants or meditates on, they were going to go underwater, so they weren't singing anything underwater. It was a meditation unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared before them underwater. Imagine that. And through this process of glorification, not just meditation, because the prayer itself is a glorification, and through that glorification of the features and activities and characteristics of the Personality of Godhead, their devotion, their bhakti, became enhanced, enriched, expanded, developed and the personality of God had appeared. So this is a meditation, essentially it's a meditation that's opening their hearts to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who then appears and agrees to protect them. So in short, the activities of devotion are to help us open our heart so that we can then receive Krishna. I mean, Krishna is already there. And in one sense, he's knocking on the door. And we're, you know, saying nobody's home. Or just like going about our business or whatever. So these wonderful prayers, it's for our benefit. It's opening our heart to receive Krishna. Krishna is waiting for us to open our heart. So then he'll come. And if we're, you know, distracted or indifferent, then he doesn't intrude, but he'll come if our hearts become open. And so these verses of the Bhagavatam, prayers, standard prayers or our own personal prayers, that's the function. Makes the heart open and in the presence of the personality of Godhead cleansed. Just like chanting, Jetho Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing of the heart. And progressively maturing that spirit of devotion, wishing to please the Supreme Lord exclusively, then he appears successively. You know, some attraction for him, some attachment for him, and so forth. So we'll end with that and see if there's any comments or questions on the verse. Yes?
Maharaj, you were talking about a person who's realizing Paramatma in his heart. So the person who's realizing Paramatma in his heart, do you see Paramatma as a two-handed form or four-handed form?
Paramatma is a four-handed form. Depends on the, you know, whether this is the mood of devotion of that person, whether he sees this or that form. Correct? Dhruva 4.
But this Dhruva is the only two-handed form of the clay. He used to meditate on the two-handed form on the clay. He has given the Krishna's form, the seven clay, and he was meditating in that form.
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think Narada Muni gave you the form made up of a scent that you should prepare a kind of a deity of Krishna and you should meditate on that form. No,
that's news to me. I'm unaware of this, what you're just saying. Jai Jagannath, you've been instructing them. You know, specifically, when go back to his mother, this is, you know, there may be some other reference, but his mother, from the Bhagavatam, Suruchi said, you know, you want a kingdom, well, the only thing I know is great personalities, they may get that, if they get the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, he can fulfill anything. So from the get-go, it's find Lord Vishnu. That was his question, specifically in the Bhagavatam. So, in any case, according to one's devotion, the principle is, according to one's devotion, the Supreme Lord shows his form. You know, the classic illustration of this is when Krishna had left the rasa dance and the gopis were searching for Krishna, and he teased them, or he showed Narayana form, so they ran up to Narayana and said, "Where is Krishna?" And then when Srimati Radharani came, he could no longer maintain those forearms and became two arms. So he shows that form according to the quality and intensity of devotion. You have the reference, Jason? Yes? Huh? Four. Yeah.
Try to speak slowly.
Thank you. The beginning of the sentences are good. It's just when you get to the end of the sentences, that's when you speak real fast. Ultimately, he's free to do whatever he wants, but that's generally how it works, yeah.
So we also hear glorification of Vrindavan Dham, and most devotees have this experience of going to the Dham and feeling something special, something extra in their devotion. So if the Supreme Lord is all-pervasive, he can reveal himself anywhere. What is that special feeling we get in Vrindavan?
It's his Dham. It's his holy Dham. That's what's special. Every particle of dust in Vrindavan. You have some appreciation of Vrindavan dust? I do. Just walking in Vrindavan, something happens. Not ordinary. Not like, you know, Chicago. Yes.
Hey, sorry, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I'll try to speak slow too. So this goes along the point of Krishna's everywhere, he's always at home.
Krishna does what?
He's always at home, you know.
He's always at home.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Krishna is always at home.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just repeating. I thought.
Yeah, I've never heard it spoken that way, but he's always in Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan, right? And Vrindavan's his home. Okay, go ahead.
So my question is related to how we're on the spotlight at every moment.
We're where every moment?
No, we're on the spotlight, everyone.
We're on the spotlight.
At every moment. So
that's another one I've not heard before. We're on the spotlight at every moment.
Yeah, meaning that some people are, let's say, extroverted and some people are shy.
Some people are introverted and some people are extroverted.
Yeah. So my question is that...
How does that have to do with being on the spotlight at all the time?
Because the Lord is within our heart, and so sometimes we may... This relates to a question that... Suppose the spiritual master walks in a room. So we're very conscious to not, let's say, speak for Java or gossip.
Okay.
And so how do we keep this in mind all the time? Because the Lord is also...
Krishna consciousness is the only solution. That's how. Become Krishna conscious. It's like... an appreciation that Srila Prabhupada would attribute, on occasion attributed to his neophyte devotees, was, oh, how nice you've achieved the stage of bhava. Because it's very clear that you don't want to waste even a moment in Krishna service. So, you know, be very conscientious to strive for connection with Krishna at every moment. And then your prajalpa goes away. You know, short of that, or like go down a couple of notches, and then there's Rupa Goswami's injunctions and prohibitions. prajalpo niyamagraha, that so this shadbir bhaktir vinashati, so it destroys bhakti. I don't want to destroy bhakti, so I'll control tendency for prajalpa. And the best way, besides, you know, the instruction not to do so, is Krishna katha instead of the other kind. So stay in the association of devotees who like Krishna katha, and that's a very good way to control prajalpa. Because you start speaking prajalpa, they'll look at you like, please, don't do that. And then you'll get the opportunity, besides, you know, the stare, is you'll hear Krishna katha, which is so nice, so much nicer. Association of devotees who like Krishna katha. Something else? Jai Jagannath, you've got something? Yes, Himanshu, you've got something?
Hare Krishna. This isn't my question, but Joey asked me this question 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
I was wondering what you would think of it. He said, since Krishna is everywhere and is everything in one sense, then isn't everyone always worshipping Krishna anyways? So what's the speciality of...
So Krishna is everywhere and Krishna is everything.
Right.
And therefore...
Everyone is worshipping Krishna already.
Everyone is worshipping Krishna already.
Yes.
The problem is they don't know it. And the reason they don't know it is because of the desire for sense gratification or seeking happiness apart from Krishna, so Krishna becomes obscured. So not worshipping. In the higher sense, that's like, you know, someone is an Uttama Adhikari. You see, everyone is worshipping Krishna. Everyone is Krishna's devotee. Because intrinsically, that's what the soul is. We're Jivera Sarpai Nitya Krishna Das. We're eternally the servant of Krishna. That's the soul's constitution. However, when the consciousness is directed away from Krishna in favor of, you know, Maya, or the illusory representation of enjoying apart from Krishna, then Krishna disappears because worship of Krishna disappears. It's, you know, hedonism or even regulated sense gratification. But if it's sense gratification, that's Krishna disappears and worship of Krishna becomes covered. Though it's done in the wrong way. Avidhi Purvakam. Yes.
You're comparing Chicago to Vrindavan, so this has me thinking, is New Sevakunj non-different from Sevakunj?
Is what?
Is New Sevakunj different from Sevakunj?
Well, different and non-different. That's a nice answer. Something that becomes spiritualized can act spiritually. On the other hand, you know, this will be destroyed and that won't be destroyed. So what we see externally in Sevakunj may be destroyed, but the dham, Sevakunj, won't be destroyed. You know, the Krishna's abode is not destroyed. So something that becomes, you get the distinction. Something can act fully spiritually, so it's non-different, but it's different. Non-different and different, because otherwise, what is the need to go on pilgrimage? And some people, somebody might say that. You know, a temple president may say, why do you want to go to Vrindavan? You know, this is Vrindavan. Vrindavan, but it's not Vrindavan. It is special. Special. Krishna is residing here. So it's Krishna's abode. Establishing places of Krishna's pastime is one of the purposes of ISKCON. So here it is. In one of the Puranas, not the Bhagavat Purana, there's a description different than what the Bhagavat Purana says. In the Bhagavat Purana, Prahlad directly states that he was sent from the spiritual world by the Supreme Lord Narayan to exhibit the quality of unmixed devotion. There's another Purana which states that in his previous life, I mean, have you ever wondered when, how was it that Narada Muni understood that within the womb of Hiranyakashipu's wife was a pure devotee? Like, who was he before he was within the womb of his mother? Who was that, Prahlad? So one of the Puranas says that in his previous life he was a Brahmana and he was with his girlfriend, Brahmani, and off they went into the forest together, and they sat down in what was a no longer existing, the ruins of a Nrisimha temple. So the place was fully sanctified because it was where a Nrisimha temple was. They didn't know that, but the place had been sanctified by the worship of Lord Nrisimhadeva. There's some further detail, but he received the benefit of having the Supreme Lord's association because of that some service he did, cleaning up a place at the abandoned or ruins of a Nrisimha temple. You get the idea. See, even in this place, when the physical manifestation disappears, the spiritual merit becomes established, and therefore one through the power of bhakti one can make a place spiritualized or make it like Vrindavan, because Krishna's here. Last question. Go ahead. I was thinking of 26 Eckhead Avenue and the building is for sale. It's way overpriced. Way overpriced. The guy's really greedy. And what's going to happen if somebody... Anyway, it's a sanctified place. So we're... We have some plans of, but if supposing those plans to secure that space permanently goes away, what's going to happen? Who knows? It's still a sanctified place. Who knows? Yes?
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking about this. So we know that Bhagavad Gita is not different from Krishna, right?
Bhagavad Gita
is
not different than Krishna.
Yeah. In the introduction, I think it says that there are over 400 different translations of Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
So, are any of them as good as Krishna, even though the comments might be not authoritative?
No.
But the verses are still spoken by Krishna.
Well, the words are there, but Krishna isn't there. It's like, when there's offense to the holy name, the sound vibration is there, but Nama Prabhu is not there. Like that. By mental, one cannot reach Krishna by mental speculation. And these other translations largely, not all of them, but other translations largely are from some scholarly speculator, largely. But where when that message is heard in disciplic succession, some translations are like that, then Krishna is there. That's not different than Krishna. Is this distinction clear? Okay. We have to call on Jitendra.
Working?
Working, yeah.
As far as establishing a temple, Srila Prabhupada said it would be very difficult to establish a temple in Chicago because it's such a sinful place.
It's such a sinful place.
They've killed so many cows. So many people.
So much crime.
Yeah. But somehow or other, it's here. But as soon as you walk outside, it's such a contrast.
Yeah, so we should walk outside chanting to spiritualize the outside.
I remember Chandramouli Swami said on Monday morning you have to have more intense kirtan because so many sinful activities have been dropped off here on Sunday.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.